Welcome in. This is an advanced composition masterclass on writing B-section contrast and drum and bass at 170 BPM inside Ableton Live using stock devices. The mission today is simple to say and hard to do. Make the B-section feel like a new chapter without sounding like a different track. Because at 170, you don't have time to introduce contrast slowly. If the beat is working, the listener feels it almost immediately. But the DJ still gets clean phrasing, reliable impact points, and a return back to it that feels like a payoff. So here's the mindset. Contrast, continuity, and functionality. Contrast means it flips the energy or angle. Continuity means it still has your identity. Functionality means it mixes cleanly and lands on phrases. Let's build a 16 to 32 bar B section derived from your existing A drop. You should already have a 32 bar A drop with rolling drums, a main bass hook, and some kind of motif or signature sound. We're going to keep one anchor from that a drop, and we're going to change two things on purpose. Not five. Not everything. Step zero is the brief. Before you touch any MIDI, pick your contrast axes. Think of it like a menu. Harmony. Rhythm. Timbre. Space. Register. Pick two. That's it. Here's a super useful advanced tool. Your contrast budget. You get 10 points total. Drums can take 0 to 4 points. Bass can take 0 to 4 points. Harmony and melody get 0 to 2 points. Spend about 7 to 9 points. If you spend all 10, your identity usually fractures unless you've got a ridiculously strong recurring hook. And pick one identity anchor that stays basically unchanged. Examples: the exact drum kit, the sub pattern, the main motif rhythm, or a signature FX call. That anchor is the glue that makes the beat feel like same tune, different scene. Now step 1. Set up a safe sandbox and arrangement view. Select the region of your A drop, say bars 33 to 65, and duplicate time. Command or Control Shift D. You're creating a copy you can wreck without fear. Add locators immediately. Label them drop A, B section, and return or drop A2. If you want to be extra pro about it, color code your locators, red for impact moments, yellow for variations, blue for transitions. That way you can literally see whether your B section has the landmarks a DJ expects. Also, group your tracks, drums, bass, music, effects and atmos, and then your buses. This matters because contrast writing is often about big, confident moves, and groups let you do that fast without hunting around. Step 2. Phrase math. This is the discipline part. At 170, drum and bass phrasing lives in 16s and 32s. Even if your sound design is insane, if your phrasing is vague, the section feels amateur and it's harder to mix. So here's a blueprint you can use every time. Bars 1 to 8. Introduce the new idea. Tease it, but make it obvious. Bars 9 to 16. Confirm it. This is okay. We're really in B now. Bars 17 to 24. Escalate. Variation. Fills. Extra movement. Bars 25 to 32. Transition back. Trip things. Set up the return. If you're only writing 16 bars, do a two-stage B inside that. B1 is bars 1 to 8, B2 is bars 9 to 16. Same groove, but one system changes in B2. Something you can remove instantly when returning to A, so the return hits harder. And here's the practical Ableton rule. Drop locators every 8 bars in your B, and commit to an audible change at each locator. Not a tiny automation tweak you can't hear. Something real. New drum emphasis, new bass cadence, a fill language change, a new layer, or a clear strip. Step 3. Contrast via drums, the fastest win. You do not need a completely new kit. Most great B sections are pattern switches, not sample pack swaps. Option A is the halftime illusion, without losing 170 energy. This is classic for darker tunes. Keep your hats moving at 170, like steady 16THS or your normal shuffle, but make the snare feel like it's in halftime. Here's how. Duplicate your snare track and call it snare B. Move the main snare hit so the big snare lands on beat 3, that 1.3 position in the bar. Keep ghost notes quietly on the original position so it still breathes like drum and bass, but the main clap of the groove is now slower. On snare B, throw drum bus. Drive somewhere in the 5 to 15% zone. Crunch low, boom optional, but if you use boom, tune it carefully, because boom can mess with your low end fast. Then EQ8. I pass around 120 to 200 Hz, and if you need more snap, a gentle lift in the 3 to 6K region. The result is the groove leans back, but the track still feels fast because the tops are still driving. Option B is a jungle switch, break emphasis. You bring a break layer forward and write a new break chop pattern for the B. Drop a break into simpler, use slice mode set to transients, and then program your chops. Warp mode depends on the sample, but beats or complex pro are common starting points. Then glue it. Group your break and drums into a drums bus and use glue compressor with a 3 millisecond attack. Release on auto, ratio 2 to 1, and aim for only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Just cohesion, not flattening. A quick coaching note here, don't do new break, new kit, new groove, new swing all at once. Switch one major rhythmic layer. Keep the rest familiar so the listener doesn't lose the plot. Step 4. Contrast via bass. The new chapter moment. The most reliable advanced move is, keep the sub consistent. Change the mid. Make your continuity anchor the sub. Keep the sub instrument the same, and keep the MIDI pattern identical or mostly identical. Then redesign the mid bass, or re-articulate it rhythmically. A stock-friendly mid bass chain looks like this. Wave eatable for the source, auto filter for motion, saturator for weight, amp if you want edge, EQ8 for cleanup, and a limiter only as safety. In wave eatable, start with a saw or basic shapes, unison 2 to 4 voices, but keep the tune low. You want size, not chorus soup. Auto filter, LP24 or MS2, moderate envelope amount, and map cutoff to a macro called byte. Saturator on analog clip, drive 3 to 9 dB, soft clip on, amp on rock or heavy if you need it. EQ8, cut some 200 to 400 if it's boxy, control 2 to 5k if it's harsh. Now the real composition part. Rearticulate the bass. If he is steady 1/8 notes, B becomes more syncopated. Add rests. Add pickup notes into snare hits. Tasteful triplet nudges can work, but treat them like spice, not the meal. And a neat Ableton trick. Use groove pull subtly on hats and on the bass MIDI, but keep the kick and snare mostly straight. That gives motion without losing punch. If you want a next level sound design move that stays mix safe, do split band movement. Put an audio effect rack on the mid bass with multiple chains, one chain focusing low mids like 150 to 600 with gentle saturation and compression, one chain for presence bite around 1 to 4K with overdrive or amp plus an envelope filter, and a third chain for air noise around 5 to 10K using erosion or redux very subtly. Widen only the top chain. Macro map bite, talk, and spray. This way your B-bass feels like a new engine without rewriting the entire patch. Step 5. Harmonic twist. Advanced, but huge payoff. A great B-section can feel darker or tenser by shifting mode while keeping the root the same. For example, natural minor to a Phrygian flavor by flattening the 2. Or minor to harmonic minor by raising the 7 for tension. Or minor to Dorian by raising the 6 for lift. Here's the practical method. Take your A-section chord stab or pad MIDI, duplicate it into the B, and mutate one scale degree across the progression. Just one. You're looking for controlled mutation, not a new song. Keep the stab sound, but change the voicing. Move the top note up an octave for brightness, or drop it for weight. Then shape it so it supports, not dominates. Operator is great here, sine plus a bit of saw, then a light redux. Auto filter band pass with envelope for a wah movement, and hybrid reverb with a short plate or chamber. Decay around 1 second, pre-delay 15 to 30 milliseconds, high cut around 6 to 10k so it doesn't hiss all over your hats. Another subtle but powerful contrast is harmonic rhythm. Don't change the chords, change how often they move. If a Hess stabs every 2 beats, make B stabs land once per bar, or only at phrase heads, and let the bass provide the motion instead. It can feel like a completely different section, while being harmonically identical. Step 6. Contrast through space. The dry A, wide B trick. A drop is often tight and mono-forward. In B, you let it bloom wider with atmospheres. But you keep kick, snare, and sub mostly mono. Width belongs in tops, stabs, pads, effects. Create an Atmos return track. Put hybrid reverb on it. Hall algorithm, moderate size, low cut 200 to 400 Hz. Add echo with dotted eighth or quarter timing, high pass around 300, low pass around 6 to 10k, then auto pan very slow, like 0.08 to 0.2 Hz, 20 to 40% amount, phase at 180 degrees for width. Send only selected elements in the B, stabs, effects, maybe a high pad, not your main drums. This is one of those mix-safe contrast moves that instantly reads as a new scene. If you want a phase coherent width trick, use utility on the Atmos or music group. Push width maybe 120 to 160%, but keep lows out of that group with EQ. If it collapses in mono, reduce width and use early reflections instead of huge chorus. Step 7. Give the B section signature ear candy. Fast identity. This is the thing that makes people remember the bee. One sound, 2 to 4 appearances, not 100. Examples: a short foghorn hit, a metallic neuro stab, a vocal chop that answers the bass, or a reverse cymbal into snares at phrase ends. Here's a stock chain for a metallic stab. Operator doing bright FM, corpus on tube or plate tuned to the key, saturator soft clip, and EQ8 to tame that harsh 3 to 5K area. Place it intentionally. Bar 1 and bar 9 are prime spots because they're DJ landmarks. You're basically giving the section a tag and giving the mix points a clear headline. Now step 8, write the transition back to A. This is the secret sauce. The B section isn't just different, it's supposed to set up the return. So write the last two bars early, not at the end when you're tired. Pick 1 return setup, trip and slam, remove the bass for the last two bars, then the return hits like a truck. Riser plus drum fill, 1 bar tom or snare fill, noise lift, harmonic resolve, bring back A's keynote or motif fragment in the final two bars as foreshadowing. For a noise riser, use wave-eatable noise oscillator, auto-filter cutoff rising, utility gain automation. For drum fill, take your snare, create a one-bar roll with a velocity ramp, add a short reverb and automate dry/wet up right at the end. And while you're building, put a limiter on the master with a ceiling around -0.8 dB. This is not mastering. It's just safety, so you don't get surprise overs when you start stacking distortion and fills. Now, common mistakes to avoid as you do this. 1. Changing everything at once. Your B becomes a different track. Keep an anchor. 2. No clear downbeat statement. If bar 1 of B doesn't announce itself, the section feels weak. Make bar 1 hit with a new angle immediately. 3. B section too long without development. If it's 32 bars, it needs a meaningful midpoint variation at bar 17. 4. Overwide low end. Widening bass and sub kills punch and collapses in mono. Use utility to mono below around 120 Hz, or simply keep low content out of wide layers. 5. Overcomplicated drum switch. Don't switch everything, switch one major layer. 6. No transition planning. If the end of beat is awkward, the whole section feels accidental. Here are a few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Use tension notes sparingly, flat 2 for phrygian, tritone, raised 7 for harmonic minor. Highlight them in stabs or counterlines, but don't overdo it or it starts sounding like random dissonance rather than intention. This audio version is shortened for playback.